This is Michael Olivas, the Rock and Roll Law Professor, the law of rock and roll.
It's a legal matter, baby, a legal matter from now on.
Class 29, Trusts and Wills, Air Scott. Death among rock and rollers and performers is a dissertation and full-length book subject with the usual suspects of drug and alcohol overdoses, Jimmy, Janice, and too many others to name. Violence, John Lennon and Selena, and accidents, Michael Jackson, and cellist Michael Edwards of ELO, who died in a car crash and probably caused by a stray hay bale. But I'm reliably informed that all of us will someday meet our maker. And so it always astounds me when I hear of someone famous and wealthy who died without leaving legal provisions for his or her heirs and for the disposition of the estate. In rock and roll, as in real life, it is the outliers who are so fascinating, and many entertainers, incredibly, do not take time to prepare a will or leave such a messy state of affairs that complex court cases or transactions are required to sort out all the details. In this class, I can only provide a sampler, as the list of issues is too long for this class period. Sometimes, the resultant family structure is, shall we say, complex. After his untimely death, Elvis Presley, who had a very good will and trust arrangement, was unsuccessfully sued by a young woman who claimed to be his daughter, but who was not specifically provided for in his will. In a matter that changed dramatically decades after Mama Cass of the Mamas and the Papas died and was thought to have passed without leaving a will, a proper document lost for many years was discovered, leading to a suit by her remaining family with the unsuccessful claim that they had been cheated out of their portion of their sister's estate 3 decades earlier.
Each night before you go to bed, my baby.
Heirs of Ray Charles and many others have gone to court to resolve legal issues about music rights. As unfortunate as all of these have been, and there are many, many more, perhaps the most complex and sad trust and estates case study is that of James Brown, the godfather of soul. I've always adored James Brown, saw him perform almost a dozen times, and attended one of his last concerts in Houston on his final birthday in 2006.
This is a man's world.
Unlike his difficult and hardscrabble life, the legal affairs of his various legal dispositions were quite orderly. Half a dozen years before his death, at the age of 73, he signed a last will and testament parceling his personal effects and an irrevocable trust to govern the treatment of his charitable plans and his considerable commercial and artistic rights, which totaled tens of millions of dollars. When he executed the various legal documents, 6 of his children were adults, all living. But his last child was not born until after his death on Christmas Day 2006. In addition, he had entered into 3 marriages, all of which ended up in divorce, and there was uncertainty about the legality of his 4th and final marriage due to his wife's own complicated marital status, which included an immigration sham marriage and an uncertain divorce, rendering her marriage to Brown uncertain. I will spare you all listeners the gory details, but a decade after his death, the matters still have not been resolved, despite several false starts, broken down negotiations, tax liens, a court-appointed special master, the South Carolina Attorney General's intervention, and dueling court cases, one involving the named adult children and another by his ostensible but not yet legalized spouse or widow, with the South Carolina Supreme Court finally assuming jurisdiction. As has occurred far too often in entertainment law cases, Brown's accountant and executor misappropriated money management entrusted to him, and he was sentenced to 3 years of house arrest after having been found guilty with breach of trust in his fiduciary duties. 2 other executors were also removed from the estate management by the courts. Yikes! The fictional case of Jarndyce v. Jarndyce, the centerpiece of the Charles Dickens novel Bleak House, has become the fictional trope for a bruising long-term inheritance court battle that sucks the life out of all who enter into the valley of death. The case of James Brown has become the real-life trope for an irresolvable rock and roll descendant's estate.
Honesty is hardly ever heard.
This is Michael Olivas, your rock and roll law professor, watching his income streams carefully and counting the milk money. With the Law of Rock and Roll on KANW, your NPR station in Albuquerque, New Mexico.